You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
A new law goes into effect for Florida schools. It will ban books and learning materials that discuss pornographic or, quote, inappropriate content for kids. Well, an activist from Boca Raton is already testing that law when it comes to one very famous book, the Bible, which has several mentions of things like incest as well as sexual assault. If you want to see for yourself, you can look up these specific verses in the Bible.
The Bible battle started with this letter that activist Chaz Stevens sent to 62 school districts across the state, including Lee County. The letter goes as far as for asking for the banishment of any book that references the Bible.
PEN America, a group that fights book bans, issued a report this week saying that Florida is responsible for 72% of the books that have been pulled from the nation's schools in the first half of this school year. Who could have predicted this would be the case, you know, a couple years ago when they passed this bill to make it easier? Roy's raising his hand. Roy saw this coming, and now...
I just saw it coming from a black issue, not just pornography and everything like that. They're not going to allow children to read anything about race, like Jackie Robinson.
And anything about the LGBTQ plus community, black history, but communism. Super bad. Super bad, bro.
Comunista! Comunista!
Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, had to roll back this policy and limit how and why books can be banned, by whom, how often, can it be by parents who don't have children in a school district, who can do it? And he's blaming liberal activists for that. But PEN America said that's just not the case, because the vast majority of book bans have been for exactly what we were just talking about, black history, LGBTQ plus issues, a lot of them driven by Moms for Taking Liberties, you know, the organization,
Crystal Fascist.
The organization who is all about family values and also lesbian threesomes. Roy, you're familiar.
Yes, I am.
With them. And so when Ron DeSantis' office was pressed, could you give us examples of liberal activists who have been responsible for book bans? They came up with one name, and that is Florida activist Chaz Stevens, who is famous for taking the First Amendment out for a spin whenever he can, trying to compel local governments to put Festivus poles outside of City Hall, trying most importantly to get city commission meetings to start with satanic prayers, and sending custom-made butt plugs to naughty politicians, not only in Florida, but across the country. Chaz Stevens is here. Chaz, why are you causing so much trouble? Chaz, why are you single-handedly responsible for the Florida legislature and the governor having to roll back and restrict some of these book ban issues? Why are you doing this?
I didn't realize I was in charge of 23 million people, but here I am, people. They had to pick on somebody, so they chose me, Billy, and I'm the worst person to choose. You know, before we start, do you mind if we say a prayer from the Satanic Bible? And open it up, please. And here we go. Oh, Satan and Miller High Life, and this is from page 69. Bless us with your fiery wisdom and cheap thrills. May our debates be heated and our beer forever chilled. Amen.
That's actually in the book.
Amen.
Page 69.
Lomain. Page 69. It's his favorite. Nice. It's his favorite passage. Chaz, why? Actually, Roy, first. You remember we were proponents on this program of banning this filthy, dirty book. And we were actually inspired, Chaz, by you. I'm going to roll a clip for you so you can see what it is that you inspired the mischief here on Because Miami.
The books that were identified as school districts as being problematic, they were pornographic, violent, or inappropriate for the grade level in some other manner.
It's time to ban books and get the smut out of our schools.
Florida school libraries are filled with pornographic landmines.
Pornographic landmines.
The more I dug, the worse it got.
In fact, one of the filthiest books ever written is still plaguing our children. The Bible!
The book graphically discusses prostitution, incest, rape, pornography, pedophilia, nudity, bestiality, and sodomy. But it actually doesn't end there. There was more.
So much more. Masturbation, genital mutilation, fellatio, dildos.
Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality.
That is pornographic. Why would we have that in a media center with 10-year-old students? It's just wrong.
You're goddamn right, Meatball.
A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it.
I just think parents, when they're sending their kids to school, they should not have to worry about this garbage being in the schools.
Now kill all the boys and kill every woman who has slept with a man, but save for yourself every girl who has never slept with a man.
The idea that that's even in there is inappropriate for these young kids.
It is for the greatness of your iniquity that your skirts are lifted up and you are violated.
How is that an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
Smite the smut. Ban this big bad book.
It should not be offered to children. Governor DeSantis, the parents of Florida, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Chaz, you have actually raised challenges in dozens of school districts, according to the Associated Press, over the Bible, dictionaries, and thesauruses. Why?
So we have a problem in Florida of little Jimmy kissing little Billy, but it's okay for little Jimmy to read the book and cannibalism, right? Eat little Billy like he's a chicken wing. It's just crazy what's in the Bible. You know, you guys quoted Ezekiel, right? In Ezekiel, it says, if you spill your seed, you have to give your pastor two turtle doves. So I'm willing to pass this along to your audience. I got the turtle doves.
Are the turtle doves, they look like pigeons.
To blame Jeff Bezos. Also, in the Bible, Billy, this is my favorite song. This favorite psalm. You ready for this? Hang on to your hat. Here we go. Happy is he who smashes babies against the rocks. Happy is he who smashes Psalm 137:9, smashing babies against the rocks. So this is what we want in elementary school. We don't want math. We don't want Huck Finn, but it's okay with little babies. I almost said a bad word. So here I am.
You can say some bad words on this show, but and some of them you're gonna give Roy a hard time. You're gonna have to bleep them.
Hmm.
Oh, that's BS. No, totally BS.
Chaz, what was the response to your complaints? I think by law, if there is an objection raised, they have to immediately take the book off the shelves pending an investigation, right? So, did any of that happen with the Bible or the dictionaries or the thesaurus?
All right, Billy, I'm gonna get serious here for just a second.
Oh, good.
Little difficult for me at times. 2 years ago, I started this. $40,000 of my own money, my own my time out the door, two lawyers, and I finally got to where they just 2 days ago said, yeah, we're putting the Bible in. They ignored me. You talked about the thesaurus. I wanted to ban Disney movies, Cars, the Cars movie, no, Cars 2, because at the end, you know, when they had thrown lemons at them, they had a lemon party. I thought, who wants to teach little kids about lemon parties? That's not a good idea. And the thesaurus or thesaurus, as I like to say, the dictionary, the Book of Talmud, the Old Testament, blah, blah, blah. They ignored it. But wait, Billy, here's the thing that everybody misses. In 11th grade, little Jimmy is going to get a Google, you know, he's going to Google things, right? He's going to do everything online. They often just said, well, we don't have the Bible physically in the library, so we're good to go. But they have access to it. They have access to the Bible. Like little Jimmy has access to Jugs magazine, and we block that. And I, from day one, said, I don't care about the physical Bible. I want you to electronically ban access to the Bible. They have ignored me. And just recently, they said, we don't know how to handle that. The school board told me this behind the scenes. We don't know how to handle that, so we're kicking that down the road. I said, that was my argument for 2 years and $40,000 of my own money. And now we're just getting to the point, well, we don't know how to respond to you. But we don't have a physical Bible, but we're going to let the electronic Bible. So I'm thinking that we should allow Playboy magazine until we can get to the Bible.
For little Jimmy and also for little Billy. And what about little Roy?
What about little Susie? Little Susie might like it, little right? In 11th grade. What 11th grader hasn't discovered porn on the internet yet? Come on. I had porn when I was, I was 2 million years old. I had porn in 11th grade. Come on. These are kids with the internet. They know.
Chaz, before we talk about butt plugs, I do want to talk about, for those of you listening and not watching, there is a butt plug, a quite large one, it looks like, hanging behind you there. How big is that butt plug, Chaz?
It's the biggest one I could find online. It's the size of a World War II mortar. It's 11 inches tall, 7 inches wide, and weighs 9 pounds. I mailed one to Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. You can't send things through the mail. There's a federal law that says mailing obscenities is against the law. And I thought I almost got in trouble. So my buddy of mine, we wrapped it with duct tape because we thought it's wrapped up, right? And we sent it to Mar-a-Lago. We also sent... I did those, the inflatable butt plugs, the guys at 6 feet tall. I bought 15, 20 of them. I sent a half a dozen to Mar-a-Lago. I sent butt plugs to Dr. Oz that went with the receipt. So somebody at the Dr. Oz's plaza, signed for it. So yeah. And out to Colorado or not Arizona, as you well know.
Chaz, we got 60 seconds left. I understand that you are suing your Florida state rep, Republican Chip LaMarca, for violating your civil rights. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, get ready for the beep. He's a little f***er.
Thanks, Chip. Guys.
Yeah. Thanks. Foreplay. Chip violated. He blocked me on Twitter. You can't do that. The Supreme Court of the United States just recently said can't do that. Chip has blocked me. I asked him to unblock me. So I filed suit against Donald Trump to get him off the ballot like 2 or 3 months ago. I literally pro se, my own money, my own time, my own lawyering, bad. But that went nowhere because of the Supreme Court. So now I said, beep, beep. Fuck it. Let's go to the federal court. Yeah. Let's go to the federal court. I'll do pro se up in the federal court and I'll sue Chip LaMarca. So yeah, stand by, Billy. It's things to come.
Well, Vicky Mendez has something to tell you.
You are a vile little man.
Chaz Stevens, thanks so much for being here.
For the win.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
In a setback to farm and construction workers who lobbied to regulate shade and water breaks in Miami-Dade County, the governor signed a law that forbids cities and counties from requiring employers to limit workers' exposure to heat or breaks. The nonprofit We Count responded saying House Bill 433 is an extremist law that will endanger the health and lives of thousands of outdoor workers in Florida and cause preventable heat illnesses and deaths. Workers' lives are not disposable, and we will continue to organize until every worker is treated with the respect and dignity we all deserve.
Ah, sigh, just long sigh. Obviously, in the state of Florida, farming and construction are major industries. In Miami-Dade alone, the estimate is about 325,000 workers who labor outdoors for sometimes 12 hours at a time.
And a lot of them are about to drop dead now.
Well, Miami-Dade County Commission was trying to pass a local ordinance that would require construction sites and farms to give workers just a little break in the shade and water. I don't even think it was like that onerous and unreasonable. And the state legislature just ripped out the power and the ability of local governments to confront these issues and deal. You know, not every county may have this number of workers to look out for their health and safety. But it just strikes me as, I listen to this quote from Ron DeSantis. Quote, "It really wasn't anything that was coming from me. There was a lot of concern out of one county, Miami-Dade. They were pursuing what was going to cause a lot of problems down there." What? What is he talking about? This word salad is as close to, you know, fruits and vegetables as this guy gets. And like, we have people, workers, many of them immigrants, working out in these fields in one of, if not the hottest state in the union, and getting hotter every single year. And what is the point of this? Tomas Kennedy is a spokesperson for the Florida Immigrant Coalition. Is cruelty the point here? Is this a pro-big business bill? Who the f*** was supporting this, was Thanks, lobbying Billy. For this? Sorry, Roy. What I meant to say was, who the f*** was supporting this?
Thanks, Billy.
Donata.
Well, Billy, the thing to note here is that it doesn't just erase these, as you say, not onerous, very honestly minimal, you know, heat stress protections that were on the cusp of being enacted in Miami-Dade, right? The law also erases local living wage laws adopted by cities across Florida, right? Remember, via referendum, over 60% of Floridians voted to raise the minimum wage after a number of years to $15 an hour. Now, localities cannot go over that, the threshold of the state's current minimum wage, right? And it actually also stops predictive scheduling laws from being enacted so that workers can have some sense of cohesion and organization within, you know, their lives and their workplace, right? Let's go back a little bit, right? Let's return to the effort in Miami-Dade County to enact these very reasonable heat stress protections. WeCount, the organization that you referenced, did an incredible job advocating for it. And the lobbying and interference by industry on this effort started in Miami-Dade County. There was a lot of back and forth in terms of the language of these heat stress protections, the enforcement. And what happened was that last year, there was an insane heat wave in South Florida. We saw temperatures not seen, you know, in decades, perhaps ever. And some farm workers actually dropped dead because of the heat that they were exposed to. So finally, the Miami-Dade Commission seemed, you know, poised to take this on. And what happened? Industry lobbyists turned their attention from Miami-Dade County to the state to enact this preemption. And you're asking me who is behind this? It's, you know, the same actors, the usual suspects. It's the Florida Chamber of Commerce, represents employers like Publix, like Big Sugar, right? Universal Studios, the big gorillas in the room. So that's what happened here. Industry, you know, puppeteering these useless, feckless, corrupt, pay-to-play politicians in Tallahassee stepped in to stop this.
Is this just the most cynical and gruesome bit of bean counting? Is this a calculation of, oh, if we give our workers a 10-minute break every 4 hours or whatever it is, or just shade and water to get out of 100-plus degree heat that they're baking in hour after hour, day after day, year after year, that's going to reduce our output or our productivity, but we're willing to lose a few. We're willing to allow a few people to, as you put it, drop dead because we're not afraid of the legal repercussions of that. Perhaps some of these people, because of their immigration status, there's not going to be wrongful death lawsuits. Perhaps they sign these sort of onerous kind of Faustian deals, employee contracts, where they don't even have any sort of rights or ability to sue, or their families have the ability to sue for wrongful death. What is the calculus here that these industries are willing to allow their own workers to die rather than give them a sip of water?
I'll tell you what the actual lawmakers who debated this law said on committee, right? On one of the committees that consider amendments, you know, and passage of this law. They said, you know, straight from the 1980s Reagan era, you know, economic theory, that why wouldn't these companies want to protect their workers, right? Because sure, when you protect your workers, you have a thriving workplace, right? And everything runs smoothly. So it's in the best interest of these companies to do so. And having the government meddle here, why would we allow that, right? Meanwhile, back in the real world, you know, temperatures keep rising. Workers don't have heat stress protections. They are being exploited at the workplace, and workers are getting sick and dying, right? I mean, that's actually happening. I mean, I'll tell you, look, you know, I obviously don't work outdoors now, and I'm not a construction worker. I'm not an agricultural worker, but I was when I was undocumented, and my dad is still a construction worker. I worked construction for a number of years. You know, my dad still does. You know, he has suffered health complications from it. He needed a double hip replacement from the toll that it's taken on his body. And it really, you know, upsets me that workers like my dad, agricultural workers, are exposed to much harsher conditions, you know, than people like my dad, you know, have this type of representation that, you know, excuse my language, doesn't give a shit about them and is willing to allow their employers and these big companies and corporations to cut corners, you know, in the pursuit of profit above all. And that's the bottom line, right? I don't want to sound, you know, whatever, but it's profit, 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 profit above everything else.
I don't know about the agricultural workers, and I'm not sure about the construction workers, but there aren't any unions that most of these employees are involved in that might be able to fight this. No, right?
It's a right to work state, Roy.
Oh, yeah.
The unions have been very supportive of these heat standards, right? And these heat stress protections. The problem is that, you know, Tallahassee is completely pay to play. You know, the Florida Chamber of Commerce is who's calling the shots there. That's the sad truth. And that's who the politicians in power, the one who controls the committees, the one who control, you know, both chambers of the legislature, you know, the governor's office, their response to, again, the Florida Chamber of Commerce and the business interests. And the business interests have no interest in enacting these heat stress protections because they don't give a shit about the workers.
Tomas, we got 2 minutes left. I understand you told me that you wanted to ask me a question, so I'll give you the last 2 minutes. And I'm being interviewed now, Roy.
We're switching roles?
Yes.
Billy, I heard you have a big announcement to make, and I want to ask you, how long was the gun held to your head for you to make this decision? What was like the threshold that it had to be met for you to say, okay, I'm doing this?
Well, the Miami Herald broke yesterday that I've been circling the race, Roy, to run for the Miami-Dade Democratic Executive Committee chair position. you may have heard that Florida Democratic Chairwoman Nikki Fried removed the Miami-Dade Party chair and at least one or two others for violating the bylaws. And now we are without a chair. And so far, there is only one person, State Senator Chevron Jones, who I like very much.
Ah, yes, Chevron. That's my man.
I like very much, but he's the only person running. And that's not exactly democracy. That's not exactly an election. And with all due respect to Chev, I feel like it keeps us on a similar course to the one we're on, which, as you know, the Democrats in Florida never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
Billy,
Tomas,
entering the marketplace of ideas. I love it. Billy, give us your 1-2 minute elevator pitch to why you're doing this.
First, Luther Campbell, and now you. I mean, my God.
Well, competition is good for the marketplace. And obviously, it's essential for democracy, and a marketplace, a robust marketplace of ideas is good for the voters. And so we need to have serious open dialogue about the defects of this party, particularly the Miami-Dade Democrats, where the party has been hijacked by consultant cowboys, really a cartel of for-profit grifters who have exploited the goodwill, the time, the volunteers of the party in an effort to profit them. Really, we're talking about people like Christian Ulvert, who is not interested in helping Democrats get elected, which is what the party's supposed to do. He's interested in lining his own pockets. And so we need to have open conversation about this if we're ever going to reform this party. Because let's be clear, the Florida Democrats don't have a damaged brand. It is a dead brand. And the only way to reform this and bring this back to life in any meaningful way and not have one party rule, which is not good, regardless of your ideology. One party rule is not good for that marketplace of ideas and not good for the state of Florida and the voters and the people of this state. They deserve to have two strong, at least two. I would hope for more, but at least two strong political parties to come to the table and have a robust debate about what is best for policy and to compromise on some of these terrible, terrible ideas. And I got to tell you, this party is not equipped at all for that future. And that is a debate that we need to have openly and honestly, and we need to stop gaslighting the people of Florida, stop gaslighting the donors of the Democratic Party, stop gaslighting the people. Talk about Florida is in play? Bullshit. Florida is not in play. This is just a question now of whether or not...
pay for play.
Amen. This is a question of whether or not Donald Trump is going to beat Biden in Florida by single digits or double digits. So when we go out there and put these, to borrow your term, Tomas, cringe posts out into the world, it's not good for our credibility. It's damaging. And donors are not going to come back to the table when we have a plan and we're ready to move forward and we're ready to reform and create real progress here in the party. And it's just embarrassing. And I don't want to be embarrassed. I've been a Democrat since 2018. It kind of sucks. And I don't want it to keep sucking.
It's a little bit embarrassing. Honestly, Billy, I'm so excited that you're doing this. You're a truth teller. You're somebody that's holds both sides accountable. You're not bought out by anyone. You don't have a career stake or a political stake on this. You're an independent voice.
At the risk of sounding like DJ Khaled, though, they don't want me to win. And I don't think I have a prayer at winning because these grifters are going to start. By the way, Roy, it's a public vote. It's not an anonymous or secret ballot. So everybody's going to get threatened. Everybody's going to get cajoled. There's no way they can let me come anywhere near this job, right?
It doesn't matter. It's what you said. It's about having the conversation. I mean, yeah. You have been taking on public corruption in Miami, you know, for years now and delivering results, you know, as happened with the city attorney, as happened with checking Noriega, with getting some, you know, or helping to get some good people in the city of Miami commission, holding politicians accountable. I mean, that's what we should be doing, right? So I'm just really excited for the next couple of days and what you bring to the table.
Yeah, the election's fun, like, right? In a week, by the way, Roy. Yeah. There's not going to be a really long, long campaign here. But Tomas is, I'm very flattered that you said what you said, but he's right in that the last Democrat in Miami-Dade County to be elected, the party ran against him. That was Damian Pardo. And lost. The party lost to a Democrat. The Democratic Party. That's what losers we are.
And now the opponent is being criminally investigated for bribery, remuneration of services.
And the only reason the party endorsed her was because she was a Christian Ulvert client. And the Miami-Dade state attorney had to recuse herself from this public corruption investigation into bribery of Sabina Covo's bribery case because Christian Ulvert is also... the political consultant and campaign manager for Catherine Fernandez Rundle. And let me tell you this right now, a Democratic candidate in Catherine Fernandez Rundle who has to recuse herself from every single substantive public corruption case because she's conflicted. If you're conflicted in every single public corruption case, what does that say about you? I think that says that you might be corrupt. Tomas Kennedy, thank you so much for being here.
Have a good day.
Wednesday, Carollo's former secretary, Tanya Quintana, took the stand, testifying in front of the jury that she was coerced by the commissioner and his wife, Marjorie, to falsely accuse other former Carollo staff of sexual harassment, not once, but twice.
Tanya Quintana testified last year at the now infamous ball and chain case, the corruption case against Joe Carollo, commissioner of the city of Miami, that resulted in a $63.5 million judgment against him for violating the First Amendment rights of those business owners on Cayocho and Little Havana for political retaliation. Tanja's joining us now. Tanja, first and foremost, how did you get a job in Joe Carollo's office?
So I actually got a job with them through Marjorie, his wife, since she is related to my uncle's wife. She, I guess, I don't know what happened to the last receptionist, but she called me one night and said that they needed a receptionist and that I could start the next day.
Yeah, seems to be a lot of turnover in that office. A lot of people coming and going, a lot of chiefs of staff, a lot of receptionists, a lot of legislative aides. I have to ask, what is the environment like? We hear a lot of rumors about a lot of screaming, a lot of harassment coming from the commissioner himself. Is it a toxic work environment, like the chisme says?
Yes,
like las malas
yes,
lenguas
a
say?
1,000% las malas lenguas are correct. That is one of the most toxic environments I've ever worked in. And I've worked in a lot. I've worked in restaurants mostly. And that is the most toxic environment that I've ever worked in my life.
Can you give me an example of what it was like day to day in that office? How Carollo treated you, other staff members?
Well, when he was there, because there were times where I wouldn't see his face for like a month or so. But when he was there, you could tell the environment was just like, I don't know, heavier. Like, it just felt like Big Brother was watching you. I don't know. You just felt so like watched and everything like had to be correct. And then he would come sometimes and then like check if you were doing something and then ask you to do something else. It was always like a little back and forth and stuff. And it was just, it was terrible.
What does back and forth mean though? Did it get loud?
At times with the deputy chief of staff, them two would get into like, I guess, arguments sometimes. I don't really remember what it was about, but I would just know that Carollo would be like yelling at him and then he would be yelling back and it was just a mess.
Let me ask you about what you testified to at the trial. You basically admitted to perjury. You admitted that you had previously lied under oath when you accused two former staff members, I guess fellow staff members in Joe Carollo's commission office,
sure,
Steve Moreau and Richie Blom, of unwanted advances, of sexual harassment. How did you come to, I guess, concoct those allegations against them?
Basically, this man, Carollo, had me write a letter. Better yet, he wrote a letter and had me say that I wrote it. Basically saying everything that you just said, that Blom was being like not aggressive but like on top of me, I guess. And then it's the same thing with Miro. He wrote like a whole letter, but he would take me to like this Burger King, I guess it's like infamous Burger King. He would take me there to write this like letter, and then he also took me to my uncle's house to talk about the same letter and then go through my phone.
So, Roy, what Carollo does is he goes to this Burger King and has meetings there. I don't know exactly why. It's just this weird thing that he's done for
cheap
a long time.
Bastard.
Well, rather than, I think, have meetings at his office where people can kind of see the comings and goings.
And
but I also, I understand.
Go to an Arby's.
Did they take you have some class, right, Roy?
Yeah, come have on the meats.
So I understand that, first of all, Miro and Richie Blum became basically enemies of Carollo because they resigned. They admitted that Carollo had this personal vendetta against the ball and chain guys, against Martin Pena and Bill Fuller. And he needed to muddy them up, I guess, and make them, harm their credibility. And he was using you apparently to do that. Was Marjorie involved in that? I recall some testimony where they might have taken you to their home and kind of like separated you from your mom and like a divide and conquer kind of strategy. I mean, was that ostensibly kidnapping? What did they do to you?
It might as well have been. That was the second time, actually, when it came out that I took part in the letter that Richard Blum wrote about Carollo. When Carollo found out that I wrote part of that letter or whatever, that I was mentioned in the letter, him and Marjorie and my uncle's wife, I guess my aunt, but like not really, I don't count these people as my family anymore. But yeah, so her, they all took me to her house, and that's where they basically harassed me, like called me every name in the book, asked me why I would do that, why I was setting him up, et cetera, just gaslighting.
Oh, they thought you were working with Richie Blum to like against Carollo? Was that true?
Yeah. No. Well, kind of, I guess. I can say now, yes, yeah. But back then I was supposed to say no. You see, like, that's the thing, is there was a certain point where I didn't really know what was the truth and what wasn't. Like, it just got to a point where I was just like, okay, like, what am I supposed to say? Like, am I supposed to say the truth? Am I supposed to say this? Do I not tell them this? Oh my God, it was a mess.
Was that why? Because was that an environment where you felt like you were being trained or coerced into lying? Or?
Yeah, 1,000%. Most of the time.
Well, and of course, there was this family element too. So you were probably intimidated or kind of emotionally manipulated by that. How would you describe
it? Yeah, that was the worst part. That was the worst part about any of this, is what happened to my family. They basically destroyed it. Him and Marjorie, basically, they, at a certain point, they got my grandma against me, which basically got my whole family against me. But then my grandma started realizing that I was in the right. So then she got back on my side. But pretty much everybody else, after a certain point, now is when they're understanding. Now, when everything is coming to light, they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But back then it was terrible. They made it like so nobody wanted anything to do with me. They made me out to be the bad guy.
Let's talk about that, because last year when you were about to testify, they cleared the courtroom out. The media had to leave, the public had to leave, and they basically had a secret proceeding, which is, I mean, obviously now it's not a secret, but there was a conversation apparently about potential witness tampering or witness intimidation against you, where Joe Carollo and or his wife Marjorie were attempting to get to you to stop you from testifying?
Something like that, yeah. My uncle's wife, apparently the night before, called my grandma and mentions, basically telling her, like, oh, tell Tanja not to do this. Like, she can't do this. This is what she's going to do. This is how she's going to affect Carollo's reputation and Carollo and this and Marjorie and this. And yeah, that was the night before, I think.
And so you admitted earlier before that you might have been helping some people against Carollo, but I'm guessing there was a reason for that, wasn't there? Why were you helping him?
He's a terrible person. This man is a terrible person. And I hope he watches this, because
He watches every single one of these episodes.
Good. Little Billy Corbin.
He loves this show. He's a wife, be a wife, be a...
Yeah, that's Joe Carollo. This is not your little Twitter account, Little Billy.
And last question, do you have a message for Joe Carollo or Marjorie Carollo and about the kind of people they are, the kind of office he runs, what they did to you and your family?
I just hope they both get what's coming to them. That's all I can say. Karma is a bitch. And the people that don't do good in this life are not going to have good done to them. And I hope that whatever they deserve is exactly what they get.
In God we trust. And it's that God that's been protecting me.
Yep. Amen.
Tanja Quintana, thank you so much for being here.
No, of course. Thank you for having me.
Before we go, Roy, we got to do a victory lap, but this one's going to be a sprint, not a marathon, because we are running out of time. First and foremost, yesterday in the Miami Herald, they broke a story about some new emails deepening the scandal around Sabina Covo, the former city commissioner, and the criminal investigation into her for possible bribery. which is a story that broke right here on the Because Miami podcast last November. And thank you to Sarah Blasky and Joey Fletches of the Miami Herald for giving us that credit. It looks like some emails and text messages back up the story that former candidate James Torres talked about here, where he was offered a job in exchange for his endorsement of Sabina. He turned it down, but Eddie Leal, one of the other opponents, apparently accepted it. And there's now a bit of a digital paper trail on that. So, she might be f***ed. Sorry, Roy. I couldn't.
Thanks, Billy.
I'm sorry, Roy. Also, change is slow and incremental, but thanks to the pressure that we've applied, the conflict of interest scandal involving Miami City manager Art Noriega and his wife's overpriced furniture company, Pradairie Office Products, has ended with the city cutting ties with Pradairie Furniture. They will no longer use that vendor to overpay for furniture on the taxpayer's dime as long as Art Noriega is the city manager, and that obvious unethical, if not illegal, conflict of interest exists. Which, you know what that indicates to me? Art Noriega is not going to be the city manager for very much longer. And speaking of which, Tricky Vicky Mendez, your friend, the city attorney.
Hey, don't you put that curse on me.
I don't know why.
Curse on me.
The city attorney of Miami is now the former city attorney in a vote taken last week.
RE20 seeks to remove the city attorney from her current role in terms of running the city attorney's office and move her to a transitionary role. The city attorney has been at times insubordinate and at times disrespectful. I don't believe that's conduct becoming of that position. Furthermore, I personally do not have confidence in the information that I receive. I believe we have these major goals right here and now that require us to make that change and also show the residents that change has happened in this position.
I have a motion and a second for RE20 as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay.
That was the voice. Sorry, I should have waited for the laugh. I should have waited for the laugh, Roy. The first voice you heard was the voice of Commissioner Damian Pardo, who made the motion and introduced the item. The second voice was Chairwoman Christine King, who called for the vote. And that third voice, the only nay, 4-1. I'll give you three guesses who that was.
He's a wife, be her wife, be her.
Yeah.
And the fourth voice was me laughing.
That was right. I should have waited for the laugh. But we do have one loss. We had some racked up some wins this week, Roy. Some progress here on Because Miami. But one loss, that is this week's Because Miami, how it started, how it's going. First, how it started on March 14th, 2024.
I will release the report to the media. I'll meet with them individually. I'll sit with Billy Corbin across the table and I'll present everything to him. I have no issue with that at all, by the way. Billy Corbin to me is someone that, you know, clearly has a lot of followers and a lot of people that are interested in what he says. I'm happy to give him the information. I'm happy to sit with him. I'll answer whatever questions he has. I have a long history with Billy Corbin. So I won't, I'm not hiding from it and I won't run from it.
Bad news, Roy. He is hiding from it and he is running from it. Just a few days ago, I got an email from Kenya Fallett, chief propagandist for the criminal regime that is the city of Miami government. Billy, since you've been eager to pose questions to the city manager, please adhere to his preference by sending your inquiries via email and remember to include Yadi. The bottom line is he's backing out of his public promise and his promise to his bosses in the commission to sit down right here in this chair. The chair will remain empty for Elijah, for Passover, because he is a lying, corrupt clown, Art Noriega. Does not have the guts to be a man of his word and answer all of my questions as he promised to do. Finally, this Miami moment, you might remember, I think it was now 2 years ago, Roy, you, me, and Dan interviewed activist, civil rights attorney, former legislator, songwriter, poet, environmentalist, and rabbi, Barry Silver.
We've been doing this for that long?
It certainly feels longer.
No one's listening!
But I have some bad news. Rabbi Silver passed away at the age of 67.
Rest in power.
He was a great guy, a funny guy, a powerful guy, and he was a plaintiff in the lawsuit against the state of Florida for violating the First Amendment rights of Jews to practice our religion, which includes a right to abortion to preserve the life of the mother. And our Miami moment this week is a few words from this program, Because Miami, from Rabbi Barry Silver, rest in power, Cocaines.
And the main point of the lawsuit is this. We as Jews have the right to be Jews. By taking the fundamentalist Christian view and make it the law of the land, that's establishing religion. And it's also preventing Jewish people from exercising their rights as Jews. These fundamentalist Christians, these self-righteous, pompous, ignorant people who call themselves pro-life, they're not. They're pro-lie. If they were pro-life, they'd support universal health care. They would work with us to get rid of all these horrible weapons of war, these semi-automatic weapons. They would work to protect the planet, the source of life of us all. And they would work to make sure that all children are wanted children, not forcing people to bring children into an already crowded world.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite, less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.